Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Tonight's message is entitled, My Peace I Leave You. A little word by Jesus Christ himself. And what I wanted to do tonight in this time of really exhortation and just reminding us of some of the things that already are, whether we feel them or not all the time, is looking at how many things we have in our lives that are out to steal our peace. And just to look at some of the scripture tonight about what the Lord's desire is for us, what he's made readily available, and then how we can apply it and fight for it. The word is full of promises to the believer that these promises are declaring, they promise to us peace. That there is peace available to the believer, and it's more than just available, it's like a hope and expectation in the Father's heart that we would actually have peace. But there are so many things that attack it, and it seems like much of our lives are filled with unpeace. It seems like the opposite of peace is what we carry around so many times. And I just want to tell us tonight, just kind of rebuke a lie, you don't have to go 1 minute without having peace. You don't have to live without the peace of God. You don't have to. Now, many times we do. But it's kind of like having a bunch of money at home and never putting any money in your wallet, and you walk around broke all the time. The money is available. We just got to put it in the wallet when we walk outside. MasterCard, don't leave home without it. And so what we're going to talk about tonight is this concept of peace that the Lord desires to be in us, to be with us, even in the midst of all the peace stealers and the unpeace that we seem to carry around with us. And we'll talk a little bit about why it's such a struggle to keep that peace in our hearts on a consistent basis. I just want to read a couple of the verses. And my couple, you know, for me, it's always 3 or 10 is my version of a couple. But let's put them up on the screen if we can. John 14, 26. Yeah, there we go. That's a good chunk right there. I just want to read these and just, again, the promises about what the Lord's desire is for us regarding peace. So John 14, 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. What did I say? Not as the world gives, do I give to you. And let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So here's Jesus talking to us that we don't need to have a troubled heart. We don't need to be afraid. But instead we do need to have peace, and he's the one giving us peace. And so trouble afraidness, if you will, come from the enemy, don't come from the Lord, that those are things that are in the world, but that the Lord, Jesus himself, says, but I'm the one giving you peace, and my peace I'm leaving with you. So that's a good word. We have his peace by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Next verse, Psalm 29. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. It's a blessing of the Lord. It's a promise that the Lord desires to give. And, you know, for those of you whose lives are perfect and you never have anything go wrong, these verses probably aren't too helpful to you. But to the rest of us, all 100%, this issue of the Lord promising peace when so many things are troubling, so many things cause us to have fear or to be afraid, so many things in our lives are difficult and distracting and painful and all these different difficulties. The Lord promises that he's leaving us his peace and that he gives that peace to his people. Next verse, Isaiah 9, verse 6. And for us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We're talking about the man Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. He's got a kingdom. His kingdom, among other names, is called the Kingdom of Peace. And he is the Prince of it. He is leading a kingdom of which you've been annexed into, that you've been brought into his kingdom. And just like it's called a kingdom of light, it's called a kingdom of peace. He is the Prince of this peace. We're talking about access to the one who is peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He is the one who leaves his peace. Now you put all these things together, and this is a pretty good storyline. You're talking about the man who is peace himself, and he promises to give peace. Then he even says, "My peace I give you." There in the John 14 passage. We learn in Isaiah that he's called the Prince of Peace. And here in the John 14 passage, we see that he's promising to leave us his peace. My point is this. There is nobody's peace. There is no other source of peace that is better than the man who is the Prince of it himself. And he says he's wanting to give us not just peace, but his peace, abundance. So my point with this is just to point out from a scriptural perspective, we've got access to something that, though we may not be tapping into all the time, we have access to it all the time. We have access to the most powerful source of peace in the universe, and that peace can overcome any and all things. You know, I love the Matthew 10 passage when Jesus is sending out his disciples, and he says, you know, more or less he's telling them the evangelistic strategy, hey, go to the house and let your peace rest on it. You guys know the passage. It's in the different gospel accounts. You know, it's wild to me that Jesus is saying, not only am I going to let my peace rest on you, you have the capacity to have so much peace, you can give it out. You have the capacity through connection to me, the Prince of Peace, you have the capacity to let your peace actually rest on a house, rest on a people, on a situation, on a person, whatever the situation might be. You have the capacity to have so much peace within you, you can take it and like a bucket of water, splash it over a house, and now it's resting on that house. That's a wild idea. Because what it means is we must actually have access to some spiritual capacities regarding this peace concept we really don't have any grid for. Letting your peace rest on a house. He's not just saying, so don't think that the house is bad anymore, because you're there. Your peace is there. He's not saying, you know, those folks got converted because you came into their house. He's saying there is a intangible presence of your peace. Just like Jesus can give his, we can impart ours. You guys have met people before that just have got such a peaceful, like, demeanor. They're just, you just kind of like get sucked into the vortex of peace when you get around them, you know? I've met a couple of those people, and I'm so high strung, oh man, I probably spot them faster than you do. Because they're like the exact opposite, you know, of like the whole spazzy thing that I carry. And so I just get around those people, and it's just like, it's like settling in to a big cushy chair, only you're standing right next to them, you know, eating or something, drinking a Coke. And I love being around those people, and it's a testimony, actually, that this concept is real. That there is something about the presence of the Spirit of God that brings peace, that it's like a magnet, it's infectious. There's something about the peace of God that can be had or not had, that can be felt, that can be experienced. And it's something that's not just like a spiritual gift. Oh, they got the gift of peace. No. It's the gift of salvation that gives us access to the Prince of Peace, which then means we can have that peace any at all times. And I think the Lord actually desires that we would walk in it all the time. And when we don't walk in it, we'd be bothered by that instead of calling that normal and those moments of peace, calling that like the glory cloud. Like, I've really stepped in now. I'm really encountering the Lord. Why? I felt peace for 15 minutes today. Like, I think we're actually supposed to be disturbed about the 15 minutes we're not feeling his peace, instead of all excited about the 15 minutes we encounter it. Because Jesus isn't a liar, and he says, my peace I leave with you. Psalm says that he imparts his peace to his people. I think we're supposed to have this peace. Now, how many times could I have said peace tonight? I don't know. If we count it out, I bet you, like, I'm the winner. And so my point tonight really is to drive home a very simple point that I just think is a bit aloof to us. And that is, there is a spiritual reality called the peace of God that we can not only experience on occasion, we can have, live in, walk out, and that I think should be bothered when we don't have it. So what's some takeaways? One, help us realize that we ourselves have a great measure of control over whether we have that peace or don't have that peace. That we ourselves have a great measure of control. You know, one of the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Well, all the other fruit of the Spirit we're supposed to like do on purpose. Well, peace you're supposed to do on purpose. We actually have a great measure of control of this issue called peace, which then means we also have a great measure of control of turmoil in our heart, anxiety in our heart, fear in our heart, discontent in our heart. We have a lot of control over this. And the Lord desires that we would walk out in the peace of the Lord. Second, a little takeaway is I want to give us some practical tips on how to get and keep peace. Simple enough? All right, well, let's look at some reasons why we're not experiencing His peace. First thing that I would point out is, I think a lot of times in our culture, and this one may seem so elementary to you guys, you just have to pretend I'm being spiritual right now and that you're being fed, that a lot of times there's just a misunderstanding about what the word peace even means. A lot of times we look at peace kind of like we look at the word blessed, or we look at the word joy, and we kind of reinterpret those words with a very American selfish concept, like it means everything goes my way. I was an only child, by the way, if you can't tell. So it means everything always goes my way, that things always work out the way I want them to. Everything is always the way I want it. That's what blessed means. That's what having peace in my life means. It means everything always aligns the way I want it to, and that's just not real at all. Part of the issue that we're all trying to get delivered from is when we were lost, we expected everything to go our way because it was our life. I mean, when we were lost, it was our life. But when we came to Christ, it's no longer our life. It's now His, which means our expectations need to shift a little bit from we get everything we want, we do everything we want, we go everywhere we want, we whatever everything we want, to Lord, we're submitted to You. I love the song that we were singing, you know, in worship about the concept of submitting our lives to the Lord as an offering. Lord, here it is. It's an offering. Burn it up. Eat it. Give it away. Do whatever you want with this offering. It's yours. It's not mine. It's yours. This life that I live now in the Son of God, I live for You. And that concept is so important when we even talk about the concept of peace, because there's a lot of misunderstanding that peace means that everything's always going to work out the way that we want it to. Well, what's cool is the scripture is so blatant. I love the exaggerated examples that the Lord fills the Bible with to make points. He could give us like little side, you know, points. It's kind of like, yeah, we could kind of get the message. He drives it home in the most embarrassing ways in the scripture when He's trying to make a point. So this concept about having peace and that peace having zero to do with our circumstances working out the way that we want, you got some awesome examples. Jesus is about to be crucified. He's getting beat up and problems are happening. And yet before the magistrates, before Herod, He's just got this peace on Him. They're accusing Him. They're making these accusations against Him. They're saying all these false things and giving Him this hard time. He doesn't even respond to them. He's just like a lamb silent before its shearers. He's just silent. He's just got the peace of God resting on Him, and He knows in just a few minutes He's going to die. You're talking about Jesus filled with peace despite His circumstances. All right, how about Stephen? Stephen has got this like face lit up like an angel moment. I just imagine this big goofy grin that we're all going to give him a hard time about for a few thousand years. He's got this big grin as he's looking up to heaven while being stoned. You know when they normally would stop stoning you? When you're covered. They've just made a little grave for you. They just keep throwing rocks at you. Stephen's out there getting hit in the jaw, hit in the eye. One of the eyes just went out. And he's looking up to heaven and he's seeing the Son of God standing at the right hand. And he's just filled. He's overwhelmed with the peace of the Lord on his life. I guarantee you his circumstances were not happy days. He's being martyred. And yet the peace of the Lord was on him. I mean, these are some bold examples. And I kind of think that the Lord puts them in the Word so that we can see these examples that are so embarrassingly bigger of a deal than whatever it is we're trying to fight through. I mean, like, when was the last time you were being covered in rocks? I mean, kind of a big deal. Paul's in prison. And he got to spend a lot of time there. And he's talking about having learned the secret. I love this man. I've learned the secret of being content no matter my circumstances. And he's writing this letter from jail. I'm content. I got the peace of the Lord. Bro, You're in jail. Look around. Yeah, I know, isn't it great? I mean, the other cell had a rat, so this one's actually pretty sweet. I mean, he's got the peace of the Lord resting on him in the midst of circumstances he probably didn't pick. See, the peace of the Lord has nothing to do with our circumstances. It has nothing to do with everything lining up the way that we want. The peace of the Lord is one of the most supernaturally powerful weapons because it means it doesn't matter what happens to you, they can't touch you. That's power. Oh my goodness, because the richest man in the world is still going to die. The most powerful king on the earth is still going to have bad things happen to him. So from all the way up at the top, all the way down to the underlings, you and me, bad things happen. So we're talking about a peace that is outside of circumstance. A peace that has nothing to do with everything going our way. Next reason that we tend to have our peace taken from us, or that we struggle to experience His peace, is we have wrong expectations about what God should do. Man, I don't know about you, I've been there a lot, maybe 5 times today. Having wrong expectations about what God should have done, how He should have treated you, what He should be doing in your life, at what timetable He should be operating according to. Wrong expectations. And so as a result of these wrong expectations, our peace, we don't experience the peace. Because we're actually, our hearts are filled with accusation against God. Well, you can't have both accusation against the Prince of Peace and the peace of that Prince in your heart. You're going to get one or the other. And we fill ourselves with accusations against Him because the circumstance didn't go the way I wanted it to. This thing, God's not responding to my prayers the way I need Him to. And we allow the accusations to rise. Instead, we should accept that His way is actually way better for us. And recognize He's infinitely wiser than all of our counsel put together. All of us on our best A game day in wisdom, you put all that together, it still does not show up on the scale of God on His worst day. Of course, He doesn't have bad days, but you get the point. But His wisdom is so much higher, so much better, so much fuller than ours, and yet we're accusing Him, God, you did bad. You're not treating me the way I deserve. You're not giving me, and when we have those accusations in our heart, of course, we don't have peace. We can't both have peace and accusation against God. And that accusation, again, you may not be thinking about it all the time as, I can't wait to wake up tomorrow and accuse God. That's probably not in your heart. What happens is, things aren't going the way that you want them to with your finances. That job is not landing fast enough. That situation with that person isn't getting, you know, or is it resolved, or is it moving forward the way that you want it to? Or we get those things, and then we tie that to the prayer life that we've been praying, laboring for those things, and oftentimes we get offended because the Lord doesn't seem to be responding to our prayer the way that we want Him to or in the time that we want Him to, and we get accusational. Instead of looking at it from this standpoint, you thought that was a good idea. Wow, Lord, you and I think different, but you win. So you thought that was a good plan. Teach me the wisdom of that, because in my little heart, again, I'm the small guy down here, but that seemed like a bad way to do it. I wouldn't have done it that way. Teach me, Lord, your ways. I think that's why the psalmists were filling the Psalms with that tagline. Teach me your ways. Because what it means is they didn't get His ways, they didn't understand His ways, and maybe even His ways miffed them a little bit. And so I think to go to the Lord instead, that's a tagline I use all the time in my prayers. I say, Lord, you thought that was a good idea. Wow, yeah, how different we are. And then I say, Lord, help me to see it your way because you're wise and I'm not. And I don't want accusation in my heart to accuse you like you should have done it this way. And we just don't want to get that casual in our accusations with the Lord. And when we do, of course we don't have peace. I'm trying to identify for you. I'm trying to give you guys a little tip here. If you feel like you're going throughout your days, your weeks, your months, and peace is a difficulty to have or to keep, maybe one of the issues is your heart keeps turning to accusation against the Lord and saying, Lord, this. Well, having wrong expectations and accusing the Lord, that'll be a kicker. Unwillingness to partner with His peace. This is another one. A little bit different from the last point. Let's get that verse up there. Proverbs 14:30. Now, I'm going to make a little side note here. It says, a heart at peace gives life to the body. Oh, do you know that? When you're at peace, you just feel good. You just feel good. It's like, yeah, but you're poor. I don't care. I got peace. Yeah, but didn't you break a leg today? It'll heal. I got peace in my heart. Man, when you got peace, it's life-giving. And then you're infectious. You get around other people, and you got all this peace in your life. It's just a sweet deal. But envy rots the bones. I just want to say, pick a sin. Rots the bones. I mean, envy is one, but I say you can pick whatever sin you want and fill in the blank. It's going to rot your bones because you weren't made to live in sin. You weren't made to have that in your heart. You're a new creation, and the new creation's made of God stuff. And you put sin in there, it just rots. It's just poison. So I just put this, put it this way. Envy, I mean, the scripture says it, envy. But I say unforgiveness rots the bones. You got unforgiveness in your heart? You're not partnering with His peace. It's rotting you inside. Unforgiveness. Slander? Are you slandering people? Suddenly you're speaking poorly. It's rotting in you. It's poison. Of course you don't have peace and you won't have it. Well, I want to have peace and slander. You work that out with the Lord. It doesn't work that way. You got to get that thing out of there. It is going to take a hold of that peace and strangle it. I feel like sin is given permission to put both hands around the neck of peace and just choke it out. You're not going to have peace while you've got these things that you got in your heart. Anger, you can't have peace and anger at the same time. It doesn't work. You got to get that anger out of there. We don't want to partner with it. Immorality, discord in our relationships. Discord probably steals peace, I would bet, more than a lot of things. Just because there's just so many ways for us to get at odds with one another, just to get in contention and to have problems in our relationships. If we've got discord, it's going to be rotting in our bones. And it's going to cause us to not have that peace. Again, as I'm just kind of listing out these sins, my hope is that you're kind of doing a little inventory check and going, man, I've really been struggling with peace lately. Or maybe you're going, I'm doing so great, I got peace all up and down. Well, good. Well, maybe if you have peace right now and you got there accidentally, maybe learn the path so you can keep that peace, because maybe there's a little endowment of grace in this season for you to just have so much peace that you didn't have to work for hardly at all. I've experienced that before, where the Lord just in His kindness gave an endowment of a grace. I didn't have to work at it. It just came so naturally. It was the sweetest thing. And then when the Lord in His kindness, in His wisdom, just like He gave it, the Lord released it or removed it so that it wasn't quite as easy to enter into. I thought I was on my way to hell. Like, oh my gosh, I was walking in this grace yesterday. I thought I was a really good Christian. And all of a sudden now I got all these issues in my life and all this stuff. And it's really, the Lord was like, I was letting you operate in a freebie. And you thought that that's how it was under the sun and that it was always going to be that way. I actually want you to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. I don't want to just give them to you your whole life as just freebies. I want you to actually struggle through, press through, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I want you to learn how those things work and how they operate. And there are times where we may be given those for a season. So I just want to tell you, if you feel like you're struggling to keep the peace in your own heart, or you got so much right now and you haven't even really thought about why, maybe do the roadmap here of how it is that you can have and keep that peace. And one of the things is the stuff rots the bones. Greed, whatever other sin, any sin that we're in agreement with will be a blockade to experiencing His peace. When I started to realize that just in my own personal life, and even as I was able to counsel and teach others, I found that to be a really powerful tool, because it's not something most people are thinking about. The point being this: they've got all this discord in their life. They're just anxious and fearful and in agony in their soul. They don't feel peace. You ask them, do you feel peace? Heck no, I don't feel peace. Maybe sometimes when I walk into a worship service, I feel it for a few minutes, but I walk out of there and I'm all anxious. My heart's all just upset. I don't feel peace. I feel anxiety. I don't like living. It's just hard. And the connection point so many times is to sin issues. Hey, do you want peace? Yeah. You got to forgive your brother. I'm not forgiving my brother. Well, good news is you'll never have peace. Congratulations. Well, I want peace. Well, you got to forgive your brother. I want peace. Well, then you can't envy. Well, I want peace. Well, then you can't be slandering. You gotta uproot these things. So I would just challenge us that wherever we're feeling like a lack of peace in our lives and in our heart, maybe we can take that back to some specific area of sin that we're in agreement with that the Lord really wants to uproot from us so that He can give us His peace, that it can rest on us, and that we can experience that joy. I didn't include it in the list because I wanted it to be its own, because I just know how big of a deal it is in our lives. We've talked about it before, but I figured on a teaching on peace, it's good to bring up the worry issue again. Worry, Matthew 6, 25 through 30. This passage in Matthew, I just gave you kind of the highlight. You'll be able to see it here in a second when we get it on the screen. I think we've made the sin of worry far too permissible of a thing. And we've just passed it off like it's okay. Like it's, oh, you know, they're a worry wart. No, they're a sin wart. Like that's, you can't worry. Worry's sin. Like it's not, oh, I'm just a worrier. No, you're a sinner. Like, repent. Like, I got to repent of my stuff. You got to repent of yours. Like, worry is a sin. And we've made it so permissible. We just said, yeah, it's just normal. Well, you know, they got a lot of hard things going on, so of course they're worrying. No, they got a lot of hard things going on, so of course they need to war against worry. We've just made it so permissible. But you know what it does? It steals our peace. Oh, snap! Does it steal our peace? We're all worried about the money. We're all worried about that situation. You can't sleep because you got all this worry because you've agreed with worry. No peace. There's no peace in that situation. Worry is a sin. Jesus, I just like gave you the little snippets here because it's another one of those embarrassing statements from heaven where he just like puts the giant exclamation mark on it. Size 12 font, size 45 exclamation point at the end of it. I mean, it's like, what in the world? Look how clear Jesus is about this issue of worry and how cancerous it is. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry. One, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? We're going to go ahead and call that two. So do not worry. Three, but seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry. Four, I mean, it's like Jesus just drives it home again and again. The whole passage is really probably 20. I mean, it's probably every little point that he's making in there. He's saying worry is not permissible. Worry is cancer. Who in the world wants to sign up for cancer? Well, but it tastes so sweet. That's ridiculous. Worry is cancerous. You won't have peace in your heart when you've got worry, and worry is a sin. We just need to get that like into our language, into our vocabulary, because there are so many of us and so many of our friends that struggle with worry. We need to talk about struggling with worry like we talk about struggling with sexual immorality. Like, don't struggle with worry. Well, it's hard for me. Well, the guy who's struggling with sexual immorality needs to repent too. So like, let's both go on a journey together and like, you know, try to help each other not worry. Worry is a sin. And when we worry, we don't have peace. And when we don't have peace, it just causes so many other issues in our life. Just like when you got cancer. It's not just that you got the cancer, but then that also affects your immune system. It's not just that you got the cancer, it also affects your energy level. It's not just that you got the cancer, it ad infinitum. The point is, when we are worrying, we don't have that peace, and we can't have it because we're giving ourselves to investing, to agreeing with worry. And it is such a peace stealer. Worry is a sin, and if we just look at it that way, it makes it so much easier, so much more black and white. I feel myself worrying. I guess I need to repent. Lord, I repent of worry. Help me. Fill me with your peace. Replace the thing I just repented of that was in my heart 5 seconds ago called worry. Replace it. I need something in there. I'm empty now. Get rid of the worry and give me something called the peace of God. Give me peace. Let's look at enforcing this peace in our lives. You know, we've kind of looked at some of the reasons that we struggle with it. One of the issues that I find to be The real battle for me, it's different for all of us, but the real battle for me is enforcing peace. You know? This idea that even though God gives it to us, we still have to fight to keep it. Even though God gives it to us, we still have to fight to have it and apply it and see it realized in our daily lives. But here's the promise, because God wants to give it to us, His peace. My peace I leave you, I am the Prince of Peace. You have me living in your heart by the Holy Spirit, who is the Counselor, who will lead you into peace. My peace I give you, that peace. The promise is this: while we have to fight, we are promised we will win. If we will fight, we will win, we'll get peace. If we will fight, if we will labor against, fight against whatever it is that's coming against us, we will actually overcome and we'll get that peace that we want, that we need. But we got to fight for it. And sometimes the fight lasts more than 5 minutes. Sometimes there's a little bit of a fight. But we will get it, because it's the Lord's desire that we would walk around in peace. Again, Jesus going to the cross in a few minutes. A guy getting stoned, rocks hitting his face, and Paul living in prison. Peace. And I bet you they had to fight for it. And more than that, probably had to fight for it in lifestyles before that moment, so that when that moment came, it wasn't their first peace fight. You know, they'd been doing it enough that they knew how to get there. Well, let's look at some of the situations where we've got to enforce this peace. Philippians 4, verse 6 through 7, says this about how we can enforce peace when the disruptions of life come. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. This passage is talking about the answer to anxious situations. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. Well, what about every situation? It's specifically talking about the bad ones. Like, you wouldn't be anxious when somebody gives you the cool birthday present. That's probably not what this passage is referring to. You're all excited. This is talking about when someone gives you the bad birthday present. You open it up and it's a tiger and it eats you. It's a bad deal. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. So this is the counsel that comes after this is all pertaining to situations that would cause you to be anxious. Disruptions in life. Things that you didn't expect. You get fired. You get accused of something. It's not your fault. You have something awful happen in your life. You lose a loved one. All the different things, all the things, every situation that would cause your heart to be anxious, here's the prescription. Instead, by prayer and petition, lift it up to God, and then you can trust that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. What that means is, here's the gist of it. An anxious situation, here's your understanding. Anxious situation, I'm anxious. That's what I understand. Here's what this verse says. If you will go to God with that and you'll bring it before Him in prayer, His peace will overwhelm everything that makes any sense at all. You know what makes sense? To be anxious when anxious stuff happens. That actually makes sense. The tiger comes out of the box. It's an anxious moment. He says, but if you pray and you present your requests to God, His peace will rest on you in a way that transcends understanding. It goes right through understanding it. All the rules get broken. Peace can break all the rules. This situation is anxious. This situation is tough. I just lost my job. I just had this bad thing happen. This person just ticked me off. Whatever the situation, the peace of God can transcend everything that makes any sense at all. All understanding. And then it will guard your heart and your mind. You know what I need? I need peace like a big security guard outside the door of my heart, so that anybody who tries to come in, they got to deal with my bouncer first, called Mr. Peace. And he's an enforcer. And anybody who tries to come in, he just gives you the look and you didn't even want to touch him. Because this says that the peace of God transcends everything that make any sense at all, and then guard your heart. Guard your heart so that your heart and your mind will rest and stay the course of peace instead of falling into anxiety. Now that's really good news, because what this tells us is when the disruptions of life come, when the difficulties that you didn't want come, there's a way out called the peace of God, and you can get it by partnering with the Lord in the place of prayer and thanksgiving. I love that Thanksgiving's on that list. It's not just pray, it's thank God for the 10,000 good things you have going on in your life. Well, yeah, but I just had this bad thing happen. Don't think about the bad thing. Focus on the 10,000 good things you've got. But my car just broke down. Thank God that you ate ice cream yesterday. But that doesn't have anything to do with my car. Exactly. Thank Him. Don't focus on your situation. Thank Him that you got, you know, socks. Man, I'm so grateful for socks. When I don't wear socks, my shoes stink so bad. I don't know about you guys. I'm grateful for socks. Just thank God for the little things. Come up with a long list and start thanking Him. Pray, God, fix my situation. Help me deal with this. And Lord, thank You that I'm saved. Thank You for my friends. Thank You, God, that I'm well fed, that I'm taken care of, that I've got air conditioning. Thank You, God, for the many blessings. Thank You, thank You, thank You. And then, Lord, let Your peace rest on me. I'll just give you a little on-ramp to peace. Thanksgiving. Take your mind off the bad thing that's happening and just thank God for 10,000 things. Get busy thanking Him, and by the time you walk out of that conversation with the Lord, the peace of God will rest on you and will give you grace to handle many, many things. It's all about perspective. One bad thing, the thing that just happened, 10,000 good things that you kind of forgot about that really are just as real. Focus on those good things and the peace will rest on you. Handling spiritual attacks is the next point that I have. About when we need to enforce the peace. Ephesians 6, 11 through 18, just give you a little snippet here. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Here's why I give you this verse. There are times where it's not a person attacking you, it's the devil or his minions. He's got a whole, you know, crew of them. There are times when you're in a spiritual battle. There are times when those spiritual battles compounding against you, you can enforce the peace, because greater is He that is in you than every one of those demons. Greater is He that is in you, and the one who's in you is called the Prince of Peace. And while those difficulties come against you, when you find yourself in spiritual fights, you find yourself in a spiritual battle, because we don't battle against people. Our struggle is against the rulers, authorities, and the powers of the dark world. We have a real fight, and when you find yourself in one of those spiritual battles, you can enforce the peace by calling on the name of the Lord and asking for His peace to come in and rebuking whatever that situation is or person is that's part of the onslaught, that's this spiritual attack. I just want to tell you, you're going to face those attacks. That's going to be real. You're going to have that happen in your life. But you can enforce the peace in the midst of those spiritual attacks so that you don't have to feel the anxiety, the sting of death, but you can have His peace in the middle of it. And then there's people who come to take your peace. Romans 12, 18. We'll wrap up here in just a minute. Romans 12, 18. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, you're like, why would this even be in the Bible if it's not talking about conflict? This is actually a conflict resolution issue. Here's the point. Living at peace with everyone, God doesn't have to tell me to do that when everybody's nice to me. God doesn't have to give me this instruction through Romans, through Paul. He doesn't have to give me this instruction about live at peace with everybody. Well, everybody's nice to me. They always do everything good for me. They always listen to what I have to say. Everybody thinks I'm awesome. Well, then I don't have to live at peace with anybody because my life is very simple. Yeah, the point is it won't be like that. You're going to have problems. There are going to be issues that arise. There are going to be people that are bringing situations into your life that look at the next point. Do not take revenge, my dear friends. This is actually talking about a person coming and doing something bad to you. They did it. They probably knew what they were doing. These are peace stealers. They're coming to steal your peace. They're coming to do something, to inflict an issue into your life that now you have to quote, you know, Romans 12:18. I'm going to live at peace with you as much as it depends on me. I mean, you got to quote it to yourself, because you're in a moment where all you can think about is taking revenge. And the Lord says, do not take revenge. Let the Lord do that. As far as it depends on you, keep the peace. Well, they don't want to keep the peace. As far as it depends on you, keep the peace. Well, they just came and did this to me. As far as it depends on you, your side, you, keep the peace. Forgiveness, love, $10 gift card. Tell you what, it goes a long way. I've been able to unloose so much peace in my heart by just buying somebody I'm mad at something. Just go buy them something little. Tell you, it's great. As far as it depends on you, keep the peace. And do not take revenge. It's a situation where people are going to come against you, and yet you are still in charge of whether you have peace or not. As far as it depends on you, keep the peace. Well, it depends on you. That's the issue. It takes two to have that conflict. Refuse to play. I am going to be playing the game of peace. As far as it depends on me, that's what I'm going to do, because we have a choice. Bad circumstances, spiritual attacks, people coming and punching us in the face. We have a choice. We have a choice. Keep the peace. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. We have a choice. We can actually choose in that moment, oh God, help me. Oh God, help me. I want peace. I want to embrace the peace. Go into thanksgiving. Stop thinking about the situation. Begin immediately to focus on the good things that the Lord's done. Don't let any bitterness or aggression or envy or slander or whatever else that might be in our heart, don't let those things have a place. Don't worry. Don't let these things that are aiming to steal peace, steal your peace. So what does this mean? It means, because we're accountable for what we know, it means if you have unrest in your heart tomorrow, if you have unrest in your heart tomorrow, pointing at myself, it's my fault. It's not God's. It's not my circumstance's fault. It's not that mean person's fault. It's my fault. I'm the one who's in charge of whether I have peace or not. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Me. It's both good news and bad news. We always want the scapegoat, don't we? Wow, they would just cry, I would have peace. We need to get to a point where we stop pointing the finger, where the peace is about us. And as far as it depends on us, we keep that peace. Let me give you a couple of takeaways and we'll get out of here for the night. One, let's embrace this following simple idea. God wants to give us peace. What a great starting point to know that God wants to give us something. He wants to give us His peace. Second, I would encourage us to pray often, daily. Make it part of your daily routine, and then especially embrace it in the moment. Pray for His peace to clothe us always. God, clothe me with Your peace. And Lord, reveal if there be any wicked way in me that's getting in the way. Lord, reveal to me if there's anything that I'm doing, anything that I'm not doing, that's keeping that peace. So pray. And then walk in His peace and fight to keep it when it's challenged. Your peace will be challenged. It will be challenged again and again your whole life through. Let's fight to keep that peace. Recognize He wants to give it to us. Recognize it's in our court of whether we have it or not. Let's fight to keep it. And one of the main ways we fight to keep it is by praying and asking the Lord to pour it all over us and to help us to see what ways we're tripped up. Everybody stand, I want to pray for you.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.